One of the things we noticed about Emily Cureton when we brought her in to produce The Exchange was her strong interest in crossword puzzles. That's a story in itself, but it's also a very good reason for Emily to be the one to take the interview on crossword puzzles online. So here's Emily.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm pretty happy to be able to talk about something I'm pretty into today, and that, as you mentioned, is crossword puzzles. Puzzles, they're loved by many, probably scorned by just as many, and made by relatively few. There's actually a word for people who are really into solving and making crossword puzzles. We're called cruciverbalists, and if you ask a dictionary, that's what it'll tell you about us, which is something we cruciverbalists tend to do. I'll leave the other tendencies of the crossword obsessed to our guest today. One is a prolific crossword puzzle constructor. He's young, and he's just been put in charge of a new section on the website BuzzFeed. Caleb Madison, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, Emily. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. We also have with us the ninth greatest crossword puzzle solver in the universe. That's according to him. He makes his claim on his blog called Rex Parker Does the New York Times Crossword Puzzle. Rex Parker is not his real name, but he really does solve the New York Times crossword puzzle every day. Then he posts the answers on his blog along with a cultural commentary that has garnered quite a few fans over the years. Rex Parker is in actuality Michael Sharp. Michael Sharp is an English professor at Binghamton University in New York State, and he's our guest today. Michael, welcome to The Exchange.
Hi, Emily.
So glad you could both join us. Now, Caleb, I'm guessing that you've made maybe hundreds, perhaps thousands of crossword puzzles over the years. Where do you begin making an individual puzzle?
Where do I begin? It depends. Wait, first of all, am I a little too echoey now? Is it okay? Is it sounding okay?
No, you sound pretty weird. If you have a headset you could throw on there, maybe I'll throw a question to Michael while you sort that out. Michael, you know, on your website, Rex Parker Does the New York Crossword Puzzle, I'm thinking people who land there for the first time, they're often there because they're searching for an answer in that day's puzzle. Where did the cultural commentary come in?
It came in because I was bored, and I was alone in solving a puzzle, and I always had a lot of thoughts about it, and usually I was just yelling them to myself or the wall or my dog. So I thought, well, I could talk about this the way anyone talks about a movie or a book. And so I just started writing about stuff that was in the crossword puzzles, things that caught my eye. It was a lark. It was just a thing I decided to do one day. And then I kept doing it, and it grew, and it became more serious, and I got more readers. And but its origins were really they feel random in hindsight.
I guess the origins of crossword puzzles often feel random to me. Why did this lark become? How long have you been doing this now, as Rex Parker? Is it going on 8 years, something like
it's
that?
It's not. I just turned nine. The blog
years.
Just turned nine, so it's been a long time. But you know, there's a community of loyal solvers, and I've met a lot of really wonderful, interesting people, and so I don't think I could give it up. Certainly not anytime soon. It's opened up a whole world, a world to me that I really value.
And now, Caleb, are you back with us?
The headset in this conference room seems to be broken. Is there any way I could call you via my cell phone, which I have all set up right now?
Oh, sure. Why don't you give us a call back? And this goes for our listeners, too, throughout the program. 800-838-3760 is that number for The Exchange. That's 800-838-3760. We have on the line with us Rex Parker, a.k.a. Michael Sharp, perhaps the world's best-known crossword puzzle critic. Now, Michael / Rex Parker, could you take us through a day in the life of someone who writes cultural commentaries to go with the New York Times crossword puzzle?
Sure. A day. Well, I can take you through the part of the day you're going to care about, which is writing the blog. Most people who solve on paper get the paper in the morning, probably. But I and a lot of people now get my puzzle online, so it comes out most days at 10 p.m. the day before it appears in the paper. A little earlier on the weekends, and so I'm up at 10 p.m., and right at 10, I download the puzzle to my desktop, and I solve it on software that I have, and write about it right there. So I've got it down to being able to solve it, write about it, put all the media into the write-up, like pictures and videos, and post it usually, within an hour and a half tops now. So it's ready to go usually by midnight, so by 12:01 a.m. the day of publication. I've been doing it long enough that I have I have a system. I've got a lot of experience, so it goes pretty fast. But it all takes place between 10 p.m. and roughly a little after 11, just so that it will be up most days. It'll be up when people get up and do their puzzles in the morning.
Long gone are the days where you actually had to wait until the next day's newspaper comes out to find out the answers to the puzzle. I know I'm one of those people who just, like, needs to know. I got to know. Part of the reason we invited you all here today, I believe we have Caleb back with us, too.
Yes, I'm back here.
Oh, you sound great. And Caleb, you are the editor of BuzzFeed's new crossword puzzle. BuzzFeed's not really a website you would associate with something that's long been the domain of print newspapers. You know, you get it. You fold it into quarters. You use a pencil if you want, ink if you dare. How is BuzzFeed's offering going to be different from a traditional or a more traditional crossword puzzle model?
Well, I think that the main reason, the main way that it's going to be different from most crosswords is that most crosswords were generated exclusively for print, where BuzzFeed is a news source that is suited, everything is suited to be published online. So for a puzzle that manifests itself in a number of ways, some of which we haven't even got to yet, but right now what people are commenting on is the clues can be way longer because we're not using up any ink. So it becomes a little more, I've tried to use that to make it a little more personal and a little more idiosyncratic and informal, because we don't have a limitation. It doesn't have to be terse or in any way. It can be kind of warmer.
So people are able to fill out the new BuzzFeed puzzles tentatively. Is it still tentatively titled PuzzFeed? Which, I'm sorry, that sounds a lot like PuzzFeed.
I've gotten that joke too, but I'm a little bit obsessed with calling it PuzzFeed.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
PuzzFeed it is.
The pun is too good to not make.
So people can type their answers directly into their web browser bar, and you were just saying, you know, the clues are a little cheekier, a little bit more informal, and they can be longer because you're not limited by how much space the newspaper has to offer you. Isn't it hard, and maybe this one is a good one for Michael, who in my mind is kind of the king of cheating on the New York Times crossword puzzle. Sorry, Michael. isn't it hard to not just Google something or otherwise, you know, cheat if you're in an internet browser window trying to solve your crossword puzzle?
No, well, not if you have – oh, sorry.
No.
No. I would just say that there is just – The idea of cheating in crosswords, and I imagine Michael agrees with me.
We'll find out, yeah.
Is a little bit complicated because once the puzzle is out of the editor and constructor's hand, it's kind of yours to have fun with however you will. So I, as an editor, am not frustrated at all if someone looks up a couple answers, if that allows them to complete and enjoy more fully the puzzle.
Do you feel the same way, Michael?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, personally, I would never do it. I mean, I know people people have standards for themselves and feel deep senses of shame and humiliation when they can't complete a crossword, or maybe that's just me. But no, I mean, there's only cheating when it's if you're lying to people about it, or if it's a tournament. I mean, if it's just you in your house, who cares? If you don't know something, why not look it up if that's what you want to do? Most people I know do it until they can't do it anymore, and then they look for help. That's certainly how, you know, 90% of the people who read me found my blog. So, no, there's really no such thing as cheating in crosswords unless, you know, you're actually lying to someone.
Go ahead, Caleb.
It's actually how I found Michael's blog.
Me too.
When I started solving, I couldn't complete a whole Monday puzzle even. But it helped to, since there are so many words that are repeated in crosswords over and over again, words with heavy vowel counts or like one letter, 1 point in Scrabble letter counts, because those letters are all more common. It helps to, when I wouldn't be able to finish one, I would look it up, I would see his explanation, and then I would remember it for the next time. And that's how I got better at puzzles.
I think that's interesting. I've definitely weirded more than a few people out talking about crossword puzzles. And a lot of times they respond to me. They say, "Oh, I don't like crossword puzzles. I'm not good at trivia, or I'm not good at spelling." Either one of you that wants to take this, what are really good solvers? I think it's interesting to think about Caleb, someone who's now in a position of great power in the world of crossword puzzles. He couldn't do a Monday puzzle when he started. You know, what does it take to become a good solver? Either one of you.
Go ahead, Caleb.
What does it take to be a good solver? I just think it's wanting to be a good solver. There's certain minds that really take to the grid as a ritualistic challenge. And if you are into that, if you somehow connect to that, then I don't think there's much that can stop you from being a good solver, because most of it is just desire and dedication.
Michael, do you connect to the grid as a ritualistic challenge?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, and have from not the first time I encountered a crossword, because I was really young, but certainly the first time I encountered one as an adult, it became a kind of compulsion. And Caleb's absolutely right. There are certain kinds of minds which appear to be maybe more suited to solving at a really high level, but honestly, you just have to be into it. It's like anything. If you're really into it and care about it and dedicated to it, then and you keep doing it, you get better and better and better. I mean, I can solve a Monday puzzle in 2.5-3 minutes, and I didn't do that. I just did that by doing them over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it's like anything. You do it all the time, you get better at it.
We're talking this morning with Caleb Madison, the new editor of the new puzzle section at the website BuzzFeed, and with Michael Sharp, a.k.a. Rex Parker, of the blog Rex Parker Does the New York Times Crossword Puzzle. I'm Emily Curitan, producer of The Exchange. And Caleb, you know, you mentioned earlier that how BuzzFeed's new puzzle section, how the offerings are a little different from, say, the New York Times, which Michael blogs about and is, I think, for a lot of people, kind of the gold standard of crossword puzzle style. And when you have things that deviate from that style that you're used to, you can get pretty frustrated. You know, it's like changing the rules on people. In terms of these longer kind of more playful clues. I have one in front of me that I actually couldn't get. I felt it made me feel old.
And
I'm not that old. It says 22 across, about to shotgun this tube of cookie dough and binge watch Breaking Bad backwards so it seems like Walt gets lame. # fill in the blank. And I guess that fill in the blank is your 22 across. Are you getting any pushback from people who say, you know, you're bending the rules too much?
I certainly am. It is a hard thing to navigate because puzzles have been something that I have been excited about since I was 14, 15 years old. But it's something that most people of my generation, a large portion of my generation, feels intimidated by, feels like they aren't good enough for, feels like it is too academic, too smart, rarefied for them. And that's something that I never felt about puzzles. One thing I love about puzzles is they seem very democratic and populist to me, in that all these different types of knowledge, all these different types of ways of experiencing the world can intersect literally in the grid. And I have the challenge here at BuzzFeed of pleasing the people who have done puzzles forever while still trying to explain. It's kind of like I feel like it's explaining through puzzles to people in my generation, why I love them so much. And so I have been getting pushback for some of the long clues, and we're in our first week, so it's a little experimental at this point because I don't want to, you know, offend anyone or make anyone unhappy. But clues like that, I remember how I saw puzzles when I was 14. I would look at a clue like that, and it would go against a lot of stereotypes I felt about puzzles and things I felt about myself in terms of what am I smart enough for puzzles? I would feel like, oh, no, it's not about being smart enough for puzzles. It's just about wanting to do puzzles.
And, you know, I think it's interesting you mentioned you're trying to reach people who've been into puzzles forever. Are you also reaching a new audience? Have you seen any evidence of that? There is definitely a reputation around crossword puzzles that nobody really cares about them except for people that care about them probably too much. Are you finding a middle ground?
I'm hoping to. I mean, BuzzFeed is a very successful website because of its willingness to experiment, and that's something that they've impressed upon me with this whole puzzle section. So I am doing a lot of experimentation, but my goal is, yes, I wholeheartedly believe that puzzles are a pastime that would fit very, very snugly into the internet-minded millennial lifestyle because they don't take more than, you know, 20 minutes, and they have a lot of random trivia.
That might depend.
Ideally, they don't take more than watching an episode of a TV show, of a sitcom. They include a lot of, I mean, people my age have a lot of random knowledge because we grew up with the internet and clicking on things that lead to other things that lead to other things that end up, and we have no idea where we started. So I think there is a lot of potential for younger people to casually and excitedly be involved with crosswords.
Now, Michael, we often think of crosswords as sort of a frivolous pursuit, but in your blog, I think you've definitely spoken not only to the generational divide in solvers themselves, but in what is acceptable fodder for, say, music and pop culture references. Or I have something I pulled out of your blog in front of me about the way the New York Times keeps cluing the word hood in this way that's like, okay, do they know that there's like a million ways to clue the word hood? And for any of you who aren't crosswordy out there, cluing means like the words that they put to clue you in to the letters that go in the spaces.
Okay, so yeah, the hood thing was a reference to the fact that the Times for, historically and for a lot of reasons has... And this gets to what Caleb was saying about being democratic and populist. In general, I think that's true of crossword puzzles, and at their best, that's what they are, at least from my point of view. It's not about a test of obscure knowledge or trivia. It's about wordplay and variety and broadening your sense of what counts as knowledge in the world. And, for a variety of reasons, the crossword puzzles, perhaps because of their perceived audience, have... I don't know how to say this without being frank. They've presupposed an audience composed entirely of older white people. And for that reason, I think they've there's been some... there's been some tin ear, some tone deafness when it comes to things having to do with race. There's also a sort of gender gap where the constructors are concerned. There's hardly any female constructors. I mean, I can name them, most of them. There are a lot more men that construct than women. So there are cultural issues in the world of crossword puzzles that I don't think anyone would really think about because they just think, well, it's a place for obscure trivia. But honestly, any given crossword is a kind of statement about what counts as our world, as shared knowledge. And when it, again, largely unconsciously, but repeatedly demonstrates that, I don't know, there's a part of the world that it's not really thinking about. There's a part of the world where the lives of people and the knowledge of people doesn't really count so much, then, yeah, at times it bugs me, and so I'll bring it up and try to do it in a way that isn't about starting some kind of culture war or being accusatory, but more just pointing out that puzzles can be more thoughtful and broader in their outlook and don't have to just rely on the way things have always been, which has tended to be skewed toward old white people. That's how I feel.
And it sounds, Caleb, like you're on the forefront of tilting that skew. When did BuzzFeed Puzzles actually launch, and how many are out there so far?
They officially launched this past Monday, so this is the end of the first week of BuzzFeed Puzzles.
And is it going well? Are they going to continue to be free?
They're definitely going to continue to be free. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And it's gone well. I've gotten some good feedback. Michael and some other people have started a new blog that covers the BuzzFeed puzzle, which has been invaluable for me because this is my I mean, this is my first editing job, but also my first job, period. So I'm still kind of working out how to, like, be good at my job, which helps to have people in the crossword puzzle world kind of reacting to what I'm doing and kind of pointing out things that I could be more meticulous about. So I'm excited to improve.
I bet you get a lot of feedback, both of you, in your position. I don't think the avid crossword crowd tends to be too demure in their thoughts. Earlier, we were talking about how you can't really cheat at a crossword puzzle. I mean, you could, but you know, who would get satisfaction out of that? For me, I've always kind of gone between, like, is the point of doing the puzzle so that the answers only come out of my mind? Is the point just that I solve it and expand my mind in the process? Or is the point to solve it really quickly? For both of you, this is kind of our last question we have time for today. Why do you solve?
I'll go first.
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. I'm addicted, so I have no idea why I solve it. I mean, I solve because it is, I get this thing that happens where I have to focus, and it's in a world where I feel distracted all the time and I'm constantly trying to find ways that I can be more focused. There is a strange way in which the cacophony of a puzzle, which, as Caleb said, has all these intersecting different kinds of knowledge in it, actually allows me to focus and tune out the world and kind of calms me in a weird way, even though it's oddly stressful. So there's just some way that it concentrates my my attention and kind of quiets my brain and also gives me a sense of challenge and satisfaction when I'm done. So
Caleb,
all those things.
Caleb, can you tell us why you solve in 30 seconds or less?
I find it extremely meditative, which I think was what Michael was talking about. I am a control freak, and so the idea that all the information that I know can be organized into an intersecting grid of letters is very calming to me.
Well, Caleb Madison, editor of BuzzFeed's new crossword section, and Rex Parker, a.k.a. Michael Sharp, thank you for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you for having me.